Good morning and welcome to Mornings with Box 2 Radio, a broadcast that is centered around news and views, Bible Q&A, and special guests. Now get ready because it's time to scramble those eggs, brew that coffee, and open that Bible, and let's jump into Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Well, good morning out there in radio land. What a day the Lord has made. This is a day that we will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is a day that anything is possible. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, let me just say He is more than enough, my friend. May the grace and peace of God be multiplied unto thee today, and may His beautiful, beautiful voice sound brightly and clearly into your ears this morning. And just, I pray the blessing of the Lord over you as you go about your day and as you're starting your day. We pray this is going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day in Jesus' name. It's so exciting to be with you all as it is every other weekday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. Good morning to 91.5 Litchfield-Hardinsburg area, 91.1 Hinesville-Glasgow, and 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky. Also, good morning to those listening via the app. If you don't have the app, you can download Tithely Church app. That's T-I-T-H-L-E-Y Church app, and then search Box 2 Network. You will find us there. And, of course, then you can listen live in the mornings. And we are excited to have you guys. It's an amazing opportunity every single day to get your ear for 2 hours. We grow as much, hopefully you guys are. And we consider this one big old family. In Jesus' name, God's going to move in amazing ways to do it today. I know He is. Hope you're gearing up for the weekend. Hope you're gearing up for the Sunday morning gathering and the Sunday morning equipping. And we have Saturday night prayer as well. We're ecstatic about what God's going to do in a group of people just willing to say yes and amen to the Spirit of the Lord. Pastor Josh, if you're listening, I'd love to know how last night went. I know Brother Zachary Capps was there. I had a small group of friends that threw me a surprise birthday party, so my heart was full of joy. I was, of course, preoccupied, but I was thinking about it and praying that it went well. I'm praying it went well. And so if you're listening anytime this morning, I'd love to hear the report and the testimony of how it went last night. But God's so good. Thank you all to all of your birthday wishes yesterday, all the texts, all the messages, whatever avenue you use to get me the message. Thank you. It means a lot to me to have such an overwhelming love and support. And you guys are amazing, and I just consider you all family. You are part of the body of Christ, and I am too. And we are the family of God together. And I just love you guys, and I appreciate you all. And again, thank you from the bottom of my heart, all the text messages and all the happy birthdays and all the encouraging words that went out. They do mean a lot to me, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing that yesterday. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there, to those married couples, to the couples that are courting, to the couples that are dating. Happy Valentine's Day, and we're just excited for an opportunity to show our spouses just how much we love them. I don't get too caught up in the tradition of Valentine's Day or even the commercialism, but I think it's a great day to say I love you. And so make sure you're showing your spouse that today. Sunday morning, we're going to be talking on marriage in lieu of, I guess you could say, Valentine's Day. I usually don't play the calendar game too much or get too obsessed with holidays or rotations or anything like that. But this time I just really feel the unction of the Holy Spirit to take a week or two and talk about marriages and some pillars of marriages. Like, just a little bit of sneak peek, I guess you could get for Sunday morning is, you know, just we're going to be talking on communication from a biblical standpoint, but also how we can have effective communication within marriages that really help us succeed. This is not a Dr. Phil or, an Oprah show or anything like that. It is going to be as biblical as I can put it and equipping to the saints to live a God-glorifying, Christ-exalting marriage that brings glory to Father. And so excited for that. We'll be talking about the different pillars and what it means to really have a marriage built upon love. that love is not just singularly a roses and chocolate emotion, but love is something that we really must work at times, and we must guard. And you know, Genesis 1:26, I think it may be, talks about leaving the mother and the father and cleaving to the wife and to becoming one. And we really do spend a lifetime of becoming one. And what's that look like, and how we can, how marriage sanctifies us and how marriage purifies us. And then, of course, there is the intimacy part of marriage, too, that is sacred and holy. And we must teach that the wedding bed is undefiled, but we can't give ourselves away, because the more we give ourselves away, the less we have to give ourselves to our spouse. And so some of these things will be talked about over the next week or two in marriage. Going to be a lot of equipping, a lot of talk. There'll probably be a lot of hit your spouse. My spouse is going to be sitting in the congregation. She might throw paper wads or something at me, like, "Yep, you listening to yourself?" And it's going to be a very good couple of weeks. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the opportunity, because we have the responsibility and the stewardship to really equip the saints, pastors, not just entertain the saints. We got to equip the saints. And so that is equipping saints for marriage and parenting, prayer, fasting, how we deal with money, what we're living for, all these things, because we are to nurture over the soul. And speaking of the things that the Bible truly does speak into, which is all avenues of society and life. And we must equip not just ourselves, but those around us, that God has given us the task and the responsibility to teach and to lead. And so I'm just excited for that opportunity these next couple of weeks in regards to marriages. So also tomorrow, all day long from 8 to 8, there'll be a benefit there at King's Table for Roger Goostry, pancake benefit. So anytime you go buy pancakes over there, it's going to go in benefit of Brother Roger. And I think jars are already been set up there, I do believe, to raise money for him. And so if you want to be a part of that all day, there's going to be an opportunity to go over there. We also have our men's prayer breakfast tomorrow morning at Farmer's Feed Mill at 8 a.m. as well. And so a lot to do tomorrow. It's going to be good. It's going to be a great day. If you want to go support Brother Roger, it's going to be there all day long. If you are a man and you're interested in coming to Farmer's Feed Mill, it is going to be a, you know, by your own. But we're going to have a prayer breakfast there as well, starting at 8 a.m. And if you need more information, you can call me or text me. And if you want to engage with the broadcast this morning, 270-230-6337 is the number to text. Again, 270-230-6337 is the number to text. Couple of more announcements and coming up in April that I want you to go ahead and just get your calendar. I said I'll announce these sporadically, then getting closer to time, I'll announce them every morning. Community Tent Revival, Campground Church, Creekside Church with Pastor Dwayne Kidd, April 16th through 19th, 6 p.m. nightly, 7621 North Dixie Highway, Bonneville, Kentucky. If you need more information, again, you can text me and I'll get that information to you. Let me find Brother Adams here. I need to find Brother Adams. And he's got April 11th through 12th in Edmonton, Kentucky. Breakthrough Ministries there is the Glory Conference. And it'll be Brother Adam, Brother Josh Grider, Troy Long, and Anita Roy. And those are starting at 6:30 p.m. on April the 11th. And on April the 12th, there will be a 10 a.m. session and continue throughout the day with a lunch and dinner break in between. So a couple of great events there to get on your calendar. Oh, let's see here. Still praying for everybody that has been sick. I definitely know what that feels like. and it's not fun. So if you're out there and you're suffering from that stomach virus or the flu, we're praying for you. It's rough. We've been there. It circulated through our house pretty good, and that stomach virus is no joke. So if you're suffering from that stomach virus, our prayers are with you. Miss Lisa says, Brother Kid, kicking off the summer's tent revivals. Amen. They're upon us. They're upon us. Amen. God is so good. It's going to be a great, great summer. Going to be a great summer of revival. We believe it in Jesus' name. We are in 1 Corinthians, and if you can't tell this morning, I am by myself. It is Brother Rick and Brother Rames. They come in every other Friday. This is not their Friday. But Brother Rick, I know, has been feeling pretty rough lately too as well, so lift him up. And then I think Brother Jeremy was feeling pretty rough. He, according to Facebook, he's going through it as well. So there's a lot of people just still sick, so continue to pray for them. Like I said, it passed through the Wilson household pretty well, pretty quickly, but, I mean, pretty rough. But praise be to God, we're back at it. But for those who are still in it, we're praying for you and believing God for a quick recovery and a quick go-through. Amen. Oh, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse... we didn't even get to Corinthians yesterday, so I'm trying to figure out where we were. I got confused. Verse 6. We read that Wednesday, but I think we're going to just reread it for the sake of context, because he's just talking about the guy who was supposedly sleeping with his mother-in-law, and Paul went into even the pagans don't do that, or his stepmother, at least, stepmother. And that's what most scholars will presume is a stepmother. And he's basically saying, even the pagans don't do that. And he said, you're boastful and you're arrogant for even allowing it. You're taking a presumption upon the grace of God. You are abusing it, he's telling the Corinth church. And he's basically saying, enough. You need to, if this guy's not willing to repent, basically, he needs to be removed from the fellowship for the destruction of his flesh, so that his soul still may be saved in the day of the Lord. And verse 6 is where he says, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? He says, you allow one little thing, you're going to allow a lot. You cannot ignore sin in the camp. And if you look at our own life, it's the same way. Like, it's always that snowball effect that we talk about so much, is that once you allow some sin starts to take over. Now, is that always quickly? No, it's not always quickly. That is the thing that should be startling and watchful for us. It should create a watchfulness in our own soul and our own heart to say, oh, where did this come from? It's because we wasn't being watchful. If we would become watchful, we would understand a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And I got to be aggressive against all sin. So even that little white lie, I got to be watchful over. That first look, not just the second look. What we're watching. You know, like maybe you're scrolling on Facebook, and everybody knows, you know, you could be scrolling on Facebook and anything could pop up. We got to be watchful over that kind of stuff. We got to guard against that kind of stuff. We got to put parameters up there. And so we have to be very diligent. Diligent and watchful are words that I want to use. Miss Renee just texted me. yes, Miss Renee, I am sorry that we are going to work on getting that done. I planned to do it yesterday evening. My day became a lot more full than I anticipated, and I was going to work on yesterday's broadcast from yesterday morning to get out there. And it was not even on rerun last night because of, I didn't know they were throwing me a surprise birthday party yesterday evening for just a close group of friends, threw a surprise birthday party at a restaurant. And it was such a joy to have that. But I wasn't able to work on the broadcast from yesterday morning. With Miss Hannah gone, it's been very difficult to find time to podcast and get things done. So I'm trying to work on everything and trying to get that done. And I assure you that I will get that out this morning. I apologize for anybody that may have been wanting to hear yesterday morning again. But to the little lump, to that little leaven that leavens the whole lump, let's just remember that we must be watchful. We must be guarding. We must be on alert that not even a little sin is going to get across it without repentance and without confession, without repenting of it. We're going to be watchful and guardful over our eye gate and our ear gate. And we're also going to take possession of it, behold what we need to behold. And this is where he's basically saying your boasting is not good. Now, were they going around boasting in their sin? They very well could have been. But their actions were boasting as well, I presume, that, hey, they're going around thinking it's okay. And this is honestly what Romans 1 groups of people are probably doing, is they're so in the passive judgment of God, becoming reprobates, thinking they're okay because God has struck them with a lightning bolt. But in reality, the Bible says they're storing up for themselves wrath in the day of wrath. And in reality, that's boastfulness, because they think they're above and they think they're good, and they don't think they have to abide by the word, and they don't have to walk in obedience. They can do whatever they want. And somehow the grace of God makes excuse for us not to be obedient to the word of God. And never will you find that. Actually, the grace of God enables and empowers us to become obedient to the word of God. And it doesn't just get us to become obedient just to the word of God on a fleshly matter. He's actually, for now, he is wooing and changing our hearts. He is showing himself strong. He is showing himself mighty in our own lives. He's empowering us not just to love the Lord our God with our hand. We can love him with our heart, our soul, our mind, our body. By the grace of God, he's enabled us to walk in obedience and to what? To become sons and daughters of the Most High God and to walk in the Spirit of God. And if we walk in the Spirit of God, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But it becomes a very arrogant and boastful thing when we think that we are above obedience and that we're above holiness, and that the grace of God is an excuse not to walk in obedience and holiness. It is actually the empowerment to sin and get away with it. That becomes boastful and arrogance and self-righteousness. And I think that disgusts the Lord, but not only disgusts the Lord, it makes a mockery of the cross. It makes a mockery of the covenant. It makes a mockery of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, to say that he died so that we could sin and do whatever we want and get away with it. How arrogant can the Corinth church be? How arrogant. He's saying your boastfulness is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? In the King, I'm going to go right over here a second. I'm going to look at something over in the King James. He says, your glorying is not good. Which that word glorying is, I'm not even going to attempt to kokaiama. All right. It's a boast. That's what it means. In the Strong's, it really means a boast in a good or bad sense. Are we boasting in the wrong thing with our lifestyle? Are we living a life that's so in rebellion to the Lord and his will that we're making a mockery because we're boasting in a bad way of our Christian liberty? What John Calvin and Martin Luther and them and reformers and those of the theologians were writing on Christian liberty was not the Christian liberty so we can go get drunk every night or so we can go watch this and it's okay because the grace of God is sufficient. He'll forgive me and he knows that none of us are perfect. So we just kind of go along with sin. No, friend. The Christian liberty that is spoken of in the scripture is that I'm not bound to works. I'm not trying to earn this. The religious cycle and the religious system teaches me this is what I have to do to attain God. The gospel says God came to attain me so that he opens a way for me to abide in him. He goes to prepare a place for me, and that place for me is in the Father. He's came down so I can come up. That's the gospel. He did not come down so that I remain down and I'm okay. No. It's a boastful thing to think that we can be born again and continue in sin, and it's okay. And it's okay. He says, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Get the old man out of there. Get the sin out of there. Get the slandering, gossiping, sexual immorality, lying, orgies, all these things that the Bible speaks of as the works of the flesh, witchcraft, all these things, get it out of there. Get that religious system out of there. Get the works-oriented mindset out of there. Get Hagar out of there. We're looking for the promise, and we're looking for holiness, and we're looking for newness, because we're a new lump. We're not an old lump. We're not old leaven. We're not an old wineskin. We are to be made new, and we're to have a new lump. For you are really unleavened. You are really unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. He says, let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He's saying, get it out. Get it out. Don't celebrate the death of Christ. Don't celebrate the Passover lamb. Don't celebrate your sins being taken, your sins being forgiven. Don't celebrate the sacrifice of your sin with old leaven and old lifestyles and old man and the old flesh. Crucify that flesh. Crucify that sin, Paul's saying. He's saying, don't do that. Don't sacrifice the celebration of this Passover lamb. And don't celebrate the sacrifice of the Passover lamb with old leaven. Do it with the new unleavened. He says the leaven of malice and evil. Don't do it, but do it with sincerity and truth. In verse 9, he says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexual immoral people. Whoa. He's already wrote to the Corinth church. He's already warned them. Don't do this. Do not associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexual immoral of this world or the greedy and swindlers and idolaters, since then you would need to go out into the world. He's saying don't associate with them as brothers and sisters in Christ. He says he's not talking about don't go preach to the prostitute, don't go preach to there. He's saying don't live in fellowship with them. Don't approve of their sinful conduct. Because you guys see what he's saying. I wrote to you in this my letter not to associate with sexual immoral people. Let's move over to the King James, and we'll do that for people who may be looking. He said, I wrote to you in an epistle. So he's already wrote to the Corinth church not to company with believers, not to keep company, not to have fellowship, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. He's saying, I'm not telling you to just ignore everybody and don't associate with them in the sense of preaching the gospel and sharing the truth, because he says you must go out of this world at that point never to talk to one again. He's saying don't keep company. Don't have fellowship. Those who are in open sexual immoral positions, that could be heterosexual or homosexual, that could be a lot of different things. He's saying don't keep step. Don't keep company. Be careful who's in your boat. Jonah's learned that lesson the hard way. Who's in your boat really does matter. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, look, I'm not telling you never to go up to the sexual immoral in the world and preach the gospel or be around them. This is why Jesus could go to the house of sinners and eat with them, because when he left the house, they were most of the time not sinners no more. They had repented. He's talking about church people who are, he's talking about the brothers, quote unquote, and sisters. Okay, I'll say it like this. He's talking about the, quote, brothers and sisters, unquote, in the body of Christ that are professing to be believers but living in open, unrepentant, rebellious, sexual, immoral, covetous, idolatrous situations. Don't have any part. Don't have fellowship. John tells us the same thing in 1 John. Now, as we talked about with Ms. Renee, can we do that in an honorable, respectful fashion? Yes. Do we have to be mean-hearted and mean-spirited about it? Absolutely not. We can be honorable about it. And that's not saying if they say hi to you in Walmart, you don't stop and say hi and, you know, praying for you. And I don't mean if they come to you for help and repentance that you don't labor and with those spirit of gentleness restore such a one. That's not saying that. That's just saying don't sit there and keep company with them. Do not have an appearance that you are condoning, participating, or proving of their sexual immorality. That's what he's telling us in Corinthians. Because he's saying once that leaven gets into the leaven, we're no longer sincerity and truth. We've no longer become unleavened. Now we're leavened because we're going to allow sin to creep back. Wow, I'm stronger than that. I'm telling you, if you're not eating donuts, don't go to Krispy Kreme. It's just that simple. Stay away. Stay away. Look what happened to Joseph. Joseph definitely was remaining pure. But he was able to be touched with the sin of Potiphar's wife just by being close. Now, I understand people say, well, it's God's plan. It was that God needed him in there. It was his job. He was there. I understand all of that. But there's even a deeper principle, I believe, that's being showed here. And this is a word to all of us. We've got to guard our hearts, friend. And it's not evil, and it's not unkind, and it's not loving to cut people off of fellowship from you and the body of Christ, if repentance is not found, and that open, unrepented, rebellious, sexual, immoral sin is found. Paul saying, in fact, we must do it, because it would be boastful not to do it. It would make a presumption upon the grace of God, and it would really make grace abound. And Paul said, God forbid that we do that. Well, first trivia question of the morning. We're going to stop there at verse 10 is where we'll stop. What are the two names of Joseph's two sons? What are the names of Joseph's two sons? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. All right, we are back in on this beautiful morning on a February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day to all you married couples out there. We are just excited for another day to show our spouses how much we love them. Amen. We just have a great morning still ahead of us. I'm by myself. Thank Brother Steve for the encouragement. I loved his text message yesterday. I think he has said it well from Wednesday. Actually, he sent me a text message after we got off the air, and it was a good one. Jacob Swift had talked about, we talked about a lot of different things that morning. But then we had got into marriages, of course, I think somehow. And we were talking about dress and how we dress and what that communicates. And we even talked about that. I actually kind of changed what I was going to talk in chapel about with my high schoolers. And we ended up talking about dress and what that's communicating and how we dress and what's that saying about ourselves and how we can show value in ourselves and honor to the Lord with how we dress. And we need to get back to thinking about some terms on that, not so much from a legalistic standpoint and everybody needs to dress the same and everybody needs to look the same. And actually, I said Wednesday night at church, if I go into a church and everybody looks the same, like every guy has the same beard or no beard and every woman has the same outfit and every guy's wearing the same suit and everything's just auto pilot and all these kind of things, I could never be in a church like that, because I think God's made us uniquely and God's made us wonderfully and God's made us to be who we are. So that's not what I'm saying so much, that we all just need to dress and look a certain thing, but Because, well, actually, let's just stop everything. Because we know even throughout the Bible that Samson had long hair, and it was the glory of his hair that brought strength. And we know others that had long hair throughout the scripture. But then Paul talks about in Corinthians, and of course, we can go back to what that was communicating for that day in the Gentile Roman culture, which long hair for a male in the Roman culture and that Gentile culture would have been homosexuality. So Paul was really telling them not to communicate that they're living that lifestyle. He's not telling them not necessarily never to have long hair. And so if you look at what's really going on, he's not asking for everybody to look the part. He's asking you to be cautious and cognitive of what long hair in that season would have been communicating. And so what are we communicating with our clothes that we're wearing today? We should be very modest, men and women both. We should honor our spouses. And if you're not married yet, you're honoring your future spouse enough not to show what only should be revealed to them. And that is the beauty and the glory. And the more you give yourself away, don't be surprised when you have less to give to your husband or to your wife. And that goes both ways. So I think we have to be very cognitive and very thoughtful and very prayerful about our dressing. I'm not reiterating that today. It's worth noting again. That has been something that even if you're like me and you think I would make nobody lust, I would make nobody do this if I was wearing a cutoff sleeve shirt, because as they say, I'm too chubby to even play Jesus in the play. But it's not even about that for me. It's about, what am I honoring? Who am I honoring? What am I bringing glory to? And I think that's what we have to think of in our dress and our apparel is, what are we bringing honor, and what are we, because when we wear a t-shirt, it's speaking. When you wear a dress, ladies, it's speaking. Our clothes and our apparel in today's age has a voice. And I think it's very important to understand that your clothing is speaking and it's broadcasting. And young men and women need to know that. And that may not be just sensual. It could also be, you could think a shirt's funny, but in reality, you're promoting hate. And Jesus was never into hate. He was into repentance, but he was never into hate. Are you promoting donuts when Krispy Kreme's not open? Like, these are real things that maybe nobody else wants to talk about, but if God's given me this platform and God's given me the ability to speak into this mic, then I'm going to speak it, because we have to be honoring the Lord with our dress and our apparel, and we have to be testifying to the glory of God that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that I'm not for sale. I am not going to be open for business. I am a daughter or a son of the Most High God, and I'm going to honor myself, and I'm going to honor the Lord, and I'm going to speak, and I'm going to preach modesty and holiness. I'm going to preach godliness. I'm going to preach modesty. I'm going to preach purity with my clothing as much as I am with my lifestyle. And it's time we get back to, and this is where Titus becomes so important. When Titus talks about the older men and the younger women, this is where discipleship and mothering and fathering comes in at, that we should be able to take them aside and say, it's not always about condemnation. It's about revelation, and it's about trying to get the revelation of what their clothing is preaching in their head. And when we get dressed and when we buy clothing, all right, and yes, I'm going to say this. I feel led by the Spirit, and people could be saying, you're getting to that legalistic point, Aaron. No, I don't think this is legalism. What we're afraid of is holiness. And we're always saying holiness is legalism because I don't want to change. Don't you step on this. Don't you tell me this. Don't you do this. You're legalist. I'm not talking about getting to heaven or not. I'm not saying if you wear a short sleeve shirt, you're going to hell. I'm not saying if you wear a leggings or a dress that's too short, you're going to hell. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, what are you preaching and what are you broadcasting? And I think some of us, boys and girls alike, need to go through our closets. We need to rethink some of the things we're wearing and some of the things that's on our hangers. Men, if you can't bend over because your pants are so tight, get a new pair of jeans. Like, that's just point blank what it is. And we're not in the 1950s no more. Our shorts don't have to be so high that people can't figure out. Like, it's time that we get modesty right in the body of Christ. And not for the sake of salvation or not, it's for the sake of holiness and godliness, and that we would revere and that we would preach the right thing to the people around us about who we are and who what we believe about ourselves. Don't cheapen yourself by showing off that only your husband or wife should ever see. Don't cheapen it. Save yourself for marriage. And I'm telling you, it's so often I've said this, and I'm trying to be very careful with how I say stuff. Don't be surprised when people come knocking at the door of opportunity if you're the one presenting it. Don't be surprised if people come knocking at your door for opportunity when you're the one opening the door. Be very cognitive and be very prayerful about what you're wearing and how you're honoring the Lord with your clothing. Again, I'm not going to stay on it forever, but I think there's a push for that in the body of Christ because we're dressing like the world. We look like the world. We're acting like the world. And again, I am not saying every guy has to wear a suit and tie everywhere. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that this. I'm saying this is where you need to become prayerful and cognitive of what you're preaching with your clothes. That's where I'm leaving it. But anyways, I was coming off of that and I've lost where I was at with going with there. I just felt like that was the Holy Spirit. So, and somebody needed to hear that this morning. But, moving into Valentine's Day, and, there's a question we always get here. And, Miss Renee had brought this up yesterday. Valentine's Day does not have always good foundational things. And, you can get into Cupid being a demon. You can get into a lot of this. Okay. I'm going to be honest. You can. Do we overwhelmingly celebrate Valentine's Day in our house? I mean, no. I mean, my kids may get candy and give it out at school to other friends and stuff like that. And, is me and my wife even going out tonight? Probably not. We don't get overwhelmed by it, but I don't also want to say it's evil to show your spouse love, appreciation, and take them on a date. So we need to be careful on that. Like, it's okay to do that 364 days of the year, but not on Valentine's Day because it is evil connotations. No. If you can go and take your spouse out for Valentine's Day tonight, you go take your spouse out for Valentine's Day tonight and you tell them how much you love them and you pray with them and you tell them how beautiful they look and you honor them. If you want to buy them a flower, buy them a flower. Like, let's stop living in this condemnation of, you know, like, well, we can't redeem it or we can't live it. Like, this is not what we just went out of would have been things that were promoting sinfulness and sexuality or evil or hate or racism. What we're wearing, those all could be produced from what we wear. Just because on the day that there may have been evil things happen at one time, we take our spouse out for a nice date and we look across the table and we hold their hand and we tell them how much we love them, we tell them how much we appreciate them, we buy them flowers, maybe get them chocolates, that does not mean that we're worshiping Cupid the devil. All right, that's kind of where I would wish we would just sometimes take a deep breath and, you know, attack the things we need to, but rejoice in the things that we can. Should we attack the clothing that we're wearing today like we just did? Absolutely, because it's promoting something. Should we attack the opportunity to love our spouse and to show them how much we appreciate them. I think we need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves on that one. And so I just want us to take a deep breath. Go out. Like Miss Renee said, her and her husband's going to go to a concert tonight celebrating the Lord. They get to go out and be together. You know, you don't have to go out and do roses. You don't have to go out and get a diaper and dress up as Cupid. You don't have to participate in all the commercialization and the nonsense of some things that we do in the society. But you can take today and go and take your spouse or take your husband or wife and go to a restaurant, sit around from across the table and just talk and appreciate and love each other. And you can show them that. And I'm telling you, that is godly. And that's good. And so, am I going to get caught up in the whole, is Valentine's Day demonic? Is it not demonic? Is it evil? Is it not evil? Honestly, I don't have time for that debate. Now, if you want to get into the question, can we take this night just like we can take 364 other days of the nights of the year to show our spouse honor, love, and respect? Absolutely, we can, and that's what we should focus on. So I'm going to leave that there. And I know every holiday we take it as an opportunity to show how demonic it is. And is there demonic roots in most holidays? Absolutely there is. But there's demonic roots in the days of the year. I mean, the days of the week that we say a lot of times, and the Sunday after the sun god and all these things. And do we just stop using Sunday at that point? Like, I think we have to be careful. And we have to look at the intents of our heart and the motivation of our actions and to say, if I take my spouse out on a date tonight, I'm not worshiping Cupid. I'm loving my wife and I'm loving my husband and I'm going to honor them and I'm going to appreciate them. And am I sitting at the dinner table at the restaurant dressed up to honor my spouse and to love them this night of the year? And am I doing that? And am I sitting at that dinner table and go, oh, Cupid, we worship you? No, we are not. That's where I wish we would take a deep breath in the body of Christ and stop making everything demonic. Is there demonic roots? Probably. Absolutely. Does it mean that it's demonic if I take my wife on a date tonight? Not necessarily at all. We can love them and we can show them honor and we can show. Now, if you bring a diaper and a bow and arrow and talk about sending demonic hits of love and war and murder and all these kind of things, okay, now you got a conversation. But I would say 99.9999% of the people that take their spouse on a date tonight is taking them on a date tonight to love them, to appreciate them, to maybe buy them a flower, and to just have a night alone without kids and the hustle and bustle of life and just get to work on their marriage and love each other well. So instead of, before we demonicify them or whatever you want to say, can we please take a deep breath and just rejoice that we have an opportunity to spend with our spouse tonight and say, I don't know, I love you, honey. And I'm not trying to be mean and I'm not trying to be hateful. I understand deliverance. I understand the ear gate. I understand the eye gate. I understand all that. If you ever heard me preach, you know I understand that. But I also understand the fact that we get a little carried away at times, and I think we just need to take a deep breath and for one night maybe just take your spouse out for a date. Don't wear the diaper. Don't bring the bow and arrow. You're not worshiping Cupid. You're not going to try to kill people. And you're not having these demonic things. Oh, I'm going to take my wife on a date for Valentine's Day because I want to be worshiping Satan. No, you want to love and honor your wife. And I think we just need to take a deep breath on this one. Now, you get into other ones. I've talked openly about Halloween and talked about how it's hard to redeem the demonic roots of Halloween and even make it biblical. And you can preach the gospel that night. Absolutely. Go out in your yard and preach gospel, hand out Bibles. I don't know what you want to do. You can redeem it somehow. I mean, Christmas, was Jesus born on Christmas? Absolutely not. He's probably born in September. Is there ties to the evergreen tree and Nimrod? Yeah, probably. But if we put our tree up, it's not giving glory to Nimrod. We're just think it's beautiful and it's no things. And so I just think that's where we have to be careful to look at our own hearts and look at our own, what our motivations are for doing things. and really allow the Holy Spirit to convict people. If the Holy Spirit, if something we're doing is wrong, then we pray the Holy Spirit would convict us. But the one thing that Hannah gives this testimony quite a bit when she's able, when she's on with us, and again, she's on her baby hiatus and her getting, you know, that first time parenting, so excited for him still. But she talks about that one time that Ethan basically just said, "Hey, you're not the Holy Spirit." And I think there's some truth in that. And the body of Christ has to learn that, that if the scripture is very clear on it, then we talk about it. But if it's in this gray area, do we practice or do we not practice? Do we do this? Do we not do that? I think this is where we do have to rely on the Holy Spirit to convict us and to lead us and to guide us. And things that I may have done years ago, I may not do today. But I'm also not going to push hard on those who may still be doing them, because I know what the Lord had to do in me to get me to that point. And so my job is to preach what the Bible gives me to preach, not what Aaron thinks or what Aaron feels. It's to declare what the Word of God says. And all these gray areas, these secondary issues, all these secondary hand issues, like tongues, do I not speak in tongues? Do I celebrate Christmas? Do I not celebrate Christmas? Do I do a trunk or treat, or do I not do a trunk or treat? I know some of my convictions on these things, and I know my interpretations, but I have no Bible verse to say trunk or treat, or no trunk or treat, or do I go out on a Valentine's Day, or do I not? I have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But even things like tongues, you know, some people say, yeah, they're there. Even the people that are cessational say they're real. They're just not for today. Well, all right, that's highly debatable. But that's a secondary issue. My salvation's not resting upon that per se. And so I think this is where we have to continue to give each other grace. And the areas that are confronted in the Bible, we confront. The areas that the Bible is gray in, we give people grace and trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth and all sanctification and all holiness. So for that question about Valentine's Day, that's my remark is, don't wear a diaper. Don't bring the bow and arrow to dinner tonight. But if you want to dress up and take your spouse out on a nice day and love them well and tell them how much you honor them and show them how much you appreciate them and buy them flowers and give them chocolate, whatever it is, I think we have to just take a deep breath in the body of Christ and stop trying to demonify every single thing that we do and start to rejoice that God has given us this amazing, beautiful spouse to celebrate, love, appreciate, and honor. And we can do it tonight just as much as we can the 364 other nights of the year. Amen. I love you. Please don't be mad at me. I just think that it's said, and I can't take it back. Amen. If you want to engage, interact with the broadcast, 270-230-6337. Again, 270-230-6337. Seven's the number to text. It's the number to, you know, get your questions in and comments. Maybe you said, I'm done with you today, Aaron. I guess so. I don't know. But I love to hear the interaction. And can I say I hate the commercialization of all holidays? Absolutely. We get over-commercialized all the time, and they just use holidays to make money most of the time. I get that, but I'm still sticking to what I say. I'm still sticking to, if you want to take your spouse out, celebrate them, love them, appreciate and honor them, you go do it and do it for the glory of God and let your marriage thrive in Christ's likeness and show them just what, husbands, show your wives how you love them just as Christ loved the church. Amen. Whew. That was a mini rant there, but hey, hallelujah. excuse me. All righty, we're getting ready to move into another question for the morning. Let me get to my page. Actually, I don't know where my page is. Here it is. I was looking for it. What does it mean for a man to be the head of the household? Oh, maybe I should just tell you to come Sunday morning. I'll talk about it a little bit. I ain't going to get too far into this because marriage is coming for at least this Sunday, very well likely maybe two Sundays, because if I'm right in my assumption, I'm going to do maybe 2 weeks, because I'm going to try to preach on the seven pillars of marriage after Proverbs 5:1. Let me see this real fast. Let me turn over here. It's good. It's a good verse. I read this somewhere and I started studying into it, and that's why I sought out seven pillars to let's see, there's seven pillars, and Proverbs mentions it. I just got to find out where it mentions it. Oh, yeah, I was going to find it. Proverbs 9:1, wisdom has built her house. So wisdom has built her house, and she has hewn it her seven pillars. She's built it upon seven pillars. And Proverbs talks about that. And it's really denoting that a strong house is built upon a strong and perfect foundation. And that perfect foundation, or the perfect number, is what in the Bible? Seven. It's completeness. It's a wholeness. So I'm going with seven pillars of marriage. And so I doubt I can get through all seven within just this one Sunday. But there are seven pillars of marriage that we're going to talk about. And, of course, the enemy has tried to rip marriage away from society and trying to pervert it, because I think godly marriages are the surest way to build strong societies, because strong cultures and communities are made up of strong families. And if you really want to tear down a community, you always go to the family. Strong churches are only made up of strong families. Strong communities are only made up of strong families. Under the first institution of government in man was not government. It was not the institution of the church. It was the institution of family. Family and marriage was the first thing that God did in the world after creation. It was the first institution he ever made. It is not good for man to be alone. Therefore, I'm taking a rib out of his body. I'm fashioning a woman and breathing in her, and the two will become one. Before the church, before politics, before anything, it's a family. You don't have strong families, you don't have strong churches. You don't have strong families, you don't have strong communities. So no wonder marriage is under attack, because marriage is the centerpiece of family. Hear that. Parenting is not the centerpiece of families. Marriages are. If you have a weak marriage, you have a sacrificed parenthood. You say, no, people stay together and they're really good parents even though their marriage is really bad. No, their marriages have an effect on the family regardless if they stay together or not, because their marriage is weak. And if the kids are not seeing mom and daddy love each other well, and to reconcile problems well, and to love each other well, and to be very close together. That's why it's so dangerous when we let parenting become idle, like an idol in our life, to where parenting is the most important thing we ever do. Parenting is a the magnitude of parenting is astronomical. But if you want strong parenthood, have strong marriage. Marriage is truly the centerpiece of every family. The marriage is truly the centerpiece of every family. And marriage is the first thing that God did. And before kids came, marriage came. And marriages produce kids. And then those kids produces marriages that then produces more kids that become a reciprocal cycle of generational blessing. Or generational tendencies, curses, if you want to. We've done a talk on that already. But, I think if we want to see society different, if we want to see our churches different, if we want to see our kids different, we've got to see our marriages different first and foremost. Because the marriage is the perpetuator. It's the rudder. The marriage of the family is literally the guiding post. It's the direction. It's the inheritance. It's the legacy. It's everything that we're leaving our children. And if that is off track, then I'm not saying you're not a good parent. I'm not saying anything like that. But I'm saying parenthood becomes a lot more difficult. And there's still sacrifices. And there's still things that we struggle with. And our kids are struggling because our marriage is struggling. You want to give the best. You want to give your kids the best home. Pay attention to your spouse. Let them see you honor, love, and appreciate your spouse well, and they'll know what true love is. And they won't grow up getting divorced themselves. And they won't grow up in domestic situations that are unsafe. Statistically speaking, I know we got to go break. Those who grew up around domestic violence marry into domestic violence because that's what they've seen. So don't tell me that poor marriages don't have an effect on kids. They do. In society, we see this every single day to where our marriages are affecting not our kids, but also our society. All right, we're going to come back into that and actually get into the men being the head of the household. Sorry. Friday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Lane Surveying, and we appreciate them as an underwriter and sponsor of the Mornings of Box 2 Radio. How long did the children of Israel journey in the wilderness of Shur before they found water? How long did the children of Israel journey in the wilderness? All right, we are back here on this beautiful, beautiful morning in the neighborhood. What a day the Lord has made, and what a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is a day that anything is possible because we serve a God of the impossible. We do appreciate all of our business underwriters and sponsors that make what we do here on the Box 2 Radio Network possible. We appreciate all of you guys who are supportive and financially sowing into what God is doing here. This is not a plug for more money. Share-a-thon only happens twice a year, and we don't hound people for money in between. But this is just to show gratitude and appreciation, because it is, we could not do what we do here on this network without you guys. And we just honor you and we bless you for your generosity and your kindness, and your being a part of God making a way when there seemed to be no way, and just to keep us on the air and keep going strong. Good morning to 91.1 Highsville, Glasgow over there. We love our area over there with Brother Philip Trent, Miss Renee, Brother Philip, Brother Dwayne Kidd, and Adam Burton, and Judy Jones, and all of them over there. Just an incredible opportunity to work with so many incredible people. Men and women of God, they're doing amazing things for the kingdom of God over there in that area. Good morning to 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky. We'd love to hear from more from Owensboro. Brother Robbie's over in that area, and we love him and Miss Mary being over at the house of the Lord with us here at Bethel. It's such a blessing to have him and her there at the body of Christ with us. But we love to connect and interact with a lot more people from the Owensboro area. So if you're there, 270-257-2689 is the number to call in, or 270-230-6337 is the number to text to say, I'm from Owensboro, I'm listening, and I love the Box 2 Radio Network. And we love to hear from some more of you guys in the Owensboro area. So let's make that happen. And then, of course, 91.5 locally here in the Litchfield, Hardinsburg area. We love our home base here, and we are just so thankful for all the Lord has done, is doing, and is about to do. God's doing some amazing work in our area. A lot of churches are on fire. A lot of pastors are preaching truth. I love to see the community of pastors and leaders that he's building in this local region. And we will just continue to say yes and amen. If you're a pastor out there and you've thought about being on radio before and you feel like you got a word and you want to be able to get the word out that God has given you, you want to hook up with us, connect with us, let me know. I'll show you what the underwriting is and all that kind of stuff. And it's not hard to do, really. And it's not even the underwriting is not crazy, anything to that regard. So we'd love to chat with you, love to talk with you if that's something you're interested in doing and God's given you a word. We're just thankful. We're thankful God's given us this platform not to build Bethel Fellowship. Yes, Box 2 Radio Network is owned by Bethel Fellowship. I get it, like all that. Yeah, hallelujah. But we're not here. We're not existing to build Bethel. We're here for the community and the body of Christ in this area. In this area. We want to see God move in Edmonton. We want to see God move in Bonnieville. We want to see God move in Highsville. We want to see God move in Glasgow. We want to see God move in Cave City. We want to see God move in Owensboro. We want to see the churches of Jesus Christ come together. We want to see one body, one mind, and one spirit. We want us to be unified and glorifying God with one voice and one heart, my friend. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. He is the righteous one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we are better together than we are apart. We are better together than we are apart. And my Lord and Savior is amazing and doing amazing things. And friend, go and tell somebody about Jesus. Go encourage your pastor today. Go up to your pastor, just encourage him. Say, I appreciate you. I honor you. Thank you. Go up Sunday morning and say, hey, how can I serve? How can I serve? You need somebody to clean the toilets, I'll clean the toilets. There's always an avenue to serve in the body of Christ. Amen. All right, on to the head. So what does it mean for the husband to be the head of the household? Does it mean he's the boss? Not necessarily. All right, I think we have to move on from the boss mentality. The boss mentality is it could be very chauvinistic. Just, I'm the boss, you're doing what I say. All right. I think when it talks of the man being the head of the household, the very first thing we need to relate or equate that to is that we are called to love our wives and our family as Christ loved the church. So that is being provisionary. That is being sacrificial. You have to understand this about the day you're married. Brother Wayne said this so well, and I think it's something we have to understand, is that your marriage is also your death. There is no more just you. You've got to cut the you out. There's no more I's. The moment that we are married, it becomes we. We. And I have to learn to die to self so that I could live for the we. And for me, being a head of the household is learning to be sacrificial. It's learning to be provisionary. It's learning to be loving. It's learning to lay my life down so that my kids and my wife may have great lives. It's he who is rich and wealthy become in poverty, so that in my poverty, I may make those around me wealthy. Please don't always equate that language to money. I have to undergird. I have to be servant. What we've done is we made man macho, woman weak, hear me roar. And I don't think that's what Paul's telling us in Ephesians when we're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. So you want to talk about manliness and being the head of the household. We are tasked to be protective. We are tasked to be provisionary. We are tasked to be gentle. We are tasked to be kind. We are tasked to be sacrificial. We are tasked by the Holy Spirit to have the fruit of self-control. We are to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to wrath. To me, that's being the head of the household. We're to lead with scripture. We're to lead with prayer. We're to lead with sound financial decisions. We're to lead to protect, to dream, to guide, but never lord and boss. I love the concept of manliness and manhood and putting man back in their appropriate place, because we're built for it. We're built for it. We're supposed to be built for it. It's how God's designed us, and I think we have to stop making apologies for that. Men, you are created for amazing things. I don't care what the devil, I don't care what society has made you out to be. I don't care what Hollywood's trying to paint you as. I don't care what society is trying to tear you down, calling you misogynistic and all these other crazy things and saying you're worthless and you're pointless and I don't need a man, I don't need all that. That's the lie of the demonic attack and the doctrines of devils that's been infiltrated into the world today, into culture, into progressive liberalism and all this nonsense the devils try to implement and create in our culture. I'm telling you, and I'm speaking to men, and I'm calling forth that manhood that God has created in you to possess, to arise. And that's not lording, and that's not chauvinism, and that's not hear me roar. That's strong enough to fight the bear and gentle enough to rock the baby girl. Stop feeling defeated. Stop feeling worthless, because that's what the demonic agenda wants you to feel. You were created for such a day as this. If you couldn't handle those kids, I don't think the Lord would have gave you to them. If you couldn't be the husband God's called you to do, hit your knees until you are that husband. I could say it like this. I heard a preacher say this not too long ago, and again, I'm excited because we have that prayer breakfast tomorrow, and I get about 15 to 20 minutes. I think I'm going to try to speak to a group of men. So this is like a passion point for me right now already, especially moving into the marriage thing. He basically said it like this. As much as men love to fight in the natural, we should be even more aggressive in the spiritual. Something about men wants to rear up, and we love the UFC, and we love wrestling, and we love this kind of stuff. We love to see football where we hit each other. But what if we were as violent in the spirit over our families and our households as we love to watch in boxing or martial arts or UFC? As tough as we want to be in the natural, what if we became even more tough in the spiritual? What if as much as we would pay to give and sacrifice to go to a UFC fight, what if we took as much celebration to go to the prayer closet? What if we were as tough in the spirit as we strive to be in the natural? What if we worked out our spiritual muscle as much as we work out our physical muscle? Oh, friend, men of God, we have a great, great calling. And not just a great responsibility and not just a great calling, we have a great opportunity. And it's time that we arise in the body of Christ. Take this opportunity by the horns and must rise to the occasion, because as Esther was raised up for such a day as this in the kingdom, men of God, I want to speak to you for a second and say you were born for such a time as this. You are not an idiot. You are not worthless. You are not a bum. You are not somebody who's just going to sit there and watch football and drink beer. You were called to be a man of God. And statistically speaking, just like Miss Renee said yesterday, 93% of the time when a husband gets it, a father gets saved, the household does. 93% of the time. I know what culture wants you to believe, that you're some kind of sexualized beer drinking idiot. But I call you a mighty warrior. And I, by the Spirit of God, I pray that we as the men of God would get out of the wine press, and we would stop just surviving, and we would stop being entertained, and we would take up our mantle, and we would take up our armor, and we would go to battle, because men, you were created for war. And I don't want to be a man who's left on the sideline while other kings went to war. I don't want to be an idle man that's entertained and lullabied to sleep. I want to be one that goes to the battlefield. I want to be one that takes up their day, takes up the sword of the Spirit this day, and starts slaying giants. Don't be caught staring at Bathsheba while other men's at war fighting. Oh, Lord, I just pray by your Spirit that you would awaken a generation of men. You would awaken them out of addiction. You would awaken them out of laziness. You would awaken them out of apathy. And so many of these are curses that the demonic agenda has tried to put upon them. And we break it by the name of Jesus. And we speak identity, purpose, and destiny into their spirit. And we call forth the Lazarus that has been in the grave for so long to come forth. And we break the word curses over their lives. We break the feeling of worthlessness over their life. We break the feeling of inadequacy over their life. We pull down the strongholds of the mind, and by the Spirit of God, breathe breathe, oh God, breathe in Jesus' mighty name. Men of God, I love you. I love you guys so much. It's time that we arise. It's time that we arise. You do not exist singularly just to make money. You do not exist singularly just to work. Do we work? Absolutely. If you don't work and provide for your family, the Bible says you're worse than an infidel. Period. That's not what I'm saying. But your whole existence is not to make money and to work. Provider is not the only thing you are. You are a warrior. You are a watchman. You are a leader. You are the pastor over your house. You are the priest over your house. And as much as you're a priest in your house, you got to be a priest to the Lord. You are a worshiper. You are a prayer warrior. You are called for such a day as this. Man, I love you. The Lord loves you. And the Lord is calling you forth. The Lord is calling you forth this very day to arise in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Well, I'm getting ready to head out here for the day. Brother Jason's going to be on with Mr. Bjork here in a few minutes. I'm going to play a song or two coming up here. I've got a prayer breakfast over at the Academy that I'm going to be heading to say a few words in each of the room and interact a little bit. I always love prayer breakfasts, getting to go over there and do that, get to pray with the kids and interact and, of course, eat their food. But it is going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. And if you're in the neighborhood Sunday and you don't have a church to go to, we welcome you here. We welcome you to Bethel Fellowship. Maybe you just want to come and hear the marriage sermons. Maybe you want to come and grow in your marriage. And maybe you're a guy that's saying, I need to be a better husband. Come on out. Maybe you're a wife that says, I love to hear what a guy has to say about me being a wife. Come on. I'm going to try to be as biblical as possible. And I'm going to be as open and raw as I possibly can without being too forceful or inappropriate. So I just want to be led by the Holy Spirit. But I think it's time we talk about some things in the body of Christ. Won't be vulgar, won't be anything like that, won't be sinful at all. I'm just saying it's got to be, we've got to do some equipping, and we keep sweeping stuff under the rug. Go here. No, I want to have healthy marriages, friend. I want to have healthy marriages, because you know what we said earlier? You have healthy marriages, you have healthy cities. You have healthy churches, you have healthy communities. You have healthy marriages, you have healthy children. And I'm saying as a general statement. I know there's exceptions. I know there's always that one or two, and you say, well, I know it. I'm just saying we do our part, God will do his part. Amen. I do love you guys. And if you don't have anywhere to go Sunday morning, I would love to see you at Bethel Fellowship. My Sunday school starts at 9. Coffee and donuts after Sunday school starts at 9:45. Prayers in the sanctuary at 9:45 as well. And so we're just excited, man. We're excited for what God's doing. We're seeing lives change, seeing incredible things happening. And so we are just anticipating the move of God in a greater fashion. But we're also not just looking for better services. We're looking for a move of God that changes our communities, changes our families, and changes our marriages. And we know the Word of God is alive and the Word of God is quick. And it will equip us and persuade us in Jesus' mighty name. We love you. We bless you all. In the powerful name of Jesus, go and be the body of Christ this week, this morning, this day. In Jesus' name.
Well, welcome back to the final segment of the week here at Mornings with Box 2 Radio. Jason Miller here with you, and happy to be a part of your morning, and also happy to have Mr. Charles Bjork with us. Ms. Bjork, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Glad to be here with you.
All right. That's good. I will say I have mixed emotions about coming on the air with you today, Mr. Bjork, because we have our Valentine's breakfast at school, so I'm missing out on part of that.
But
the alternative is pretty good, though, being here with you.
Well, I appreciate that.
So I instructed them to save some food for me, and hopefully they will.
Yes, I bet you they will.
No, it's good to be with you this morning. It really is.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, all's going well on your front?
Yep, seems to be pretty good. Twice referred to the moon as the harvest moon. It should have been the snow moon.
Right.
The harvest 3 months ago. But right now it's a snow moon, and, you know, I whine constantly about my high-altitude clouds that keep me away from a lot of astronomy. But that bugger blew through the moon day before yesterday, and I could not believe it. It had enough power to get right through all that mess, and I was absolutely delighted.
Yeah.
And then I was also happy to see I got it on the 29th because it was the 36th anniversary of the Russian mission to Phobos and Deimos. That there was a fair amount of excitement among the astronomical community in those days, thinking that maybe one of our trips to the moon ought to be to explore those two moons,
right,
around the moon. And that mission has never happened, by the way. And to make things worse, that was the last time we ever had a space mission launched by the Soviet Union for that kind of a mission. They haven't done anything like that since. So I think I heard recently that they put some sort of a bomb in orbit to take care of the satellites they didn't like. But that was the only thing they've done useful, I suppose. And so it was really exciting to see what that was, because we haven't had any exploration of Phobos and Deimos outside of what the astronomers have been able to do. And so I was really glad to see that happen. And the final thing, last night I was able to see actual real stars come through. So we've got a breakthrough now. We can actually see some astronomy. So.
All right. That's good. Are y'all expecting a lot of rain this weekend?
We had a lot.
Okay.
And we haven't seen anything in the forecast, but we've had enough rain, ice and rain. We've had all kinds of water.
Well, yeah, we are under the gun, as they say. They're expecting 3 to 5 inches of rain, possibly, here in Kentucky. So.
It gets here after it gets there, especially when it's one of those northeast direction storms. So
yeah. Well, anyway, so.
I kind of was humorously noted the question that was thrown out. It says, when is an asteroid? Some scientists detected another asteroid, two asteroids. One, they said, is threatening the Earth, but the little one, isn't threatening anything, but didn't have a name at the time, and they finally backtracked it and realized that was not an asteroid. That was Elon Musk's Tesla Roadster that he put in orbit years ago.
Passing through, huh?
Deep space. And it's still out there, and it's still working, and he's still got Starman driving the thing.
All right. Speaking of these flights there, did you happen to see the International Space Station fly over early this morning?
I knew you mentioned you could see it, and it was, I didn't take advantage of the potential opportunity I had, and I was really glad to hear from some other folks about their view, and
I had every intention of getting up early this morning, but it would have been 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So I did set my alarm, but when it went off, I decided that it wasn't as important to me as I thought it was when I went to bed.
Yeah.
I was really excited about it at night, but in the middle of the night, early morning, I wasn't quite as excited as I once was.
Yeah, it's one of the things you can count on seeing, so that's a good thing. They made the joke that when there's an asteroid, not an asteroid.
When it's a Tesla?
Yeah.
That's good.
I was glad to see the thing is still ticking and it's still there. I don't know if it's sending any data back, but certainly get down in the vocabulary of the asteroid hunters. Beware of this one. But it was great greatly done by him, especially when he's got this, I call it robot, really, but it's a mannequin, because they got it, you know, shaped after a human, and it performs the operations a human might do at the time.
Right.
The first time they had a payload for the company's Falcon Heavy rocket like that. It was really an amazing launch years ago, and hope to see lots more of those in the near future. And probably with something other than a roadster. But we had like I said, they detected two asteroids beside this one. The other one, they call it a planet killer. And the question is, could we have some bad news coming our way? And the answer is probably yes. The good news is we've already had some practice at how you can divert these things. You know, the DART program.
Sure.
Very fabulous results. Shows that we can do it if we have to, and painful as it might be, it can be done. And if we do something now, we can probably prevent what a lot of people are worried about, the debris problem. We've got a lot of junk in deep space.
Yeah.
And leftovers from some of our own missions, but also these asteroids, they don't stay whole. Well, they'll break up into smaller ones. And so we're developing quite a bit of space clutter.
Mm-hmm.
And guys that launch robots and stuff into deep space are more worried than we are about that. I mentioned the book by Nikki Jenner, Fourth Rock from the Sun, because it's talking about Mars. And we've had all kinds of gadgets like Perseverance and the flying robot, which isn't flying anymore because he broke his tail.
Okay.
But they are exploring an area around the edge of a crater in Mars with these rover, one rover.
Okay.
He collected at least 26 samples, maybe more by now, of stuff around what he called Silver Mountain. In fact, they've named one of the samples they collected Silver Mountain to go along with the place it came from, because it's an unusual, first time we've ever had something like it. It's not a solid rock. There's got some soft material in it as well.
Sure.
And of course, really detailed understanding of what we got there probably won't happen until we get a human there. But they've done a great job. Perseverance is really capable, and they've developed this thing, sent some very exciting pictures back from the caching system, and we got that also at the end of January 2025, and glad to have it for sure. It's the only rock sample like this that we have collected. We don't collect a lot of rocks on Mars. We never had anything quite like this, so it's quite a development. It's got a lot of guys excited about this, about what they can potentially find there.
Right. Okay.
They also found a number of things, too. There are different kinds of outcroppings along the Jezero crater, which is the one I was referring to. And and it's telling us a lot about the geological history, and it's a little more complicated than we thought. And it's kind of exciting, all the scientists who work in that area. But the things like they sampled this time is a super treasure. The things over an inch in size, not round, it's kind of a block-like shape, but it's over an inch in size. And they've gone ahead and made Silver Mountain to go with the mountain they came from. It has a very unusual texture, like I said. It's not just like a hard rock. It's has got some of their characteristics. And
wow.
So they're real excited about it.
Okay.
And they, of course, have gotten a lot of views of that crater, and they've been able to identify what they believe was a trail of water. So they're likely going to be able to find little water trails elsewhere on Mars, which is kind of an exciting thing. But some of these things that they got are unusual. They think they might have come from asteroids that hit Mars a billion years ago. And so it's going to tell us a lot about the crust and what it's made out of, more than we could ever hope to learn, because we could have to catch up some sort of amazing place to harvest these things. And here they got, they're laying around in these little craters and in these flow areas. And so there's going to be a lot of potential stuff that some of our future explorers are going to find. And they had it. I thought it was an interesting title. They called this Age of Mars a long, long time ago. It's called Naokian. It's got the word Noah in the front of it. Naokian Age.
Okay. Yeah.
Geological history that's like 4 billion years old, apparently. So there's been a lot of cometary impacts that's been the source of the craters that we see on Mars. There's a lot of them. And now we're getting to understand them a little bit better. But we have rocks now like Silver Mountain, and it's quite a collection there from the Jezero crater. And so we've had that guy working ever since 2021. He's putting in a lot of time,
yeah,
and collecting good stuff and getting all the scientists excited about some of the things they find. And we unfortunately don't have Ingenuity. That's the helicopter that broke its back into tail and couldn't work anymore. It was hoping to make a whole lot of flights.
Rotor damage, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Got the damage there in the rotor, and then but not until after it got 72 collections. So
yeah,
it was. I'm sure he made it pay.
Yeah.
And it also says that, you know, if we want to make another one of those, there's not going to be any complaints. And that thing is really useful and has shown itself already. So that was a good thing. And a lot of more exploration that Perseverance is going to be doing. And eventually he'll have some assistance from humans. But they want to bring some of that stuff back, and they've already identified a sample return mission. And the only thing standing in the way is the estimate of $11 billion it's going to take to get it done.
Well,
and they can't come up with a plan that gets it here before 2040. And when you're getting to be old like me,
yeah,
you don't like to hear these kind of things.
Well, you know, 2040 is... not, you know, used to think that was such a long ways away, you know.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
It seems now just around the corner.
Right. So hopefully they'll make a push to get that done. That'll be real exciting. A lot of people excited about that. All the people that couldn't go and can't get that stuff and can't see it and have to live with whatever Perseverance does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're actually
so is Perseverance totally immobile? I mean, it's still taking photos, but it's right.
It's still functioning.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Ingenuity that's not mobile, and it can still.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I misspoke there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's Perseverance is very busy, and keep it moving, and there that's working just fine.
Yeah, I mean, but is Ingenuity is it? Is it still taking photos, or is it totally immobile and totally out
it's
of?
It's mobile, but it's still working. I mean,
yeah,
you can take photos, but it's
just
not
of the same place.
And that may be something that can be done in the near future, either
sure,
by
Well, hopefully in 5 years or less, we can get somebody up there to fix it.
Well, on that matter.
Okay.
Elon Musk says he's having a team there in 4 years.
4 years. Okay, so 4 years or less, hopefully we can have somebody up there to fix it.
Now, that's the kind of schedule I can live with.
All right.
Yeah, he's insisting that, and he's got a lot of excitement as a result of that. And China is going to be getting into the action. They're about to launch a their own mission to Mars with something like Perseverance, and they've targeted it, and they hope to be there by 2028. And they're going to try a sample return mission. And they're hoping to get their stuff back by 2031.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll cheer them on because we'd like to get some stuff coming back. And
sure.
That would be a good thing to have that happen. Well, that was a fair amount of excitement there. We had some other excitement, too, in the medical area.
Okay.
And this is the Artemisia Hubba, Herba Alba. And they discovered this herb that can be used to treat colon cancer.
Oh, really?
And they've done a study of it, and they found that there's a lot of African people who have used this in the past, and they've applied it to several diseases that are annoying, and with great results. But the biggest one we're interested in is how the extract has a way to stop cancer cell growth and induce the cell death, and it disrupts the cancer-related pathways, and it looks like a potential natural treatment that can be used, and it may have been in use by the medicine people in years ago there to among many things. The one we're really interested in is CRC, the colorectal cancer. But it turns out that it's adequate against other diseases like that, too.
Huh.
Artemisia herba alba, and it's a natural existing herb, and it has some very potential therapeutic effects for a number of diseases, including CRC, a colorectal cancer.
Okay, cancer. And that's the scientific name of this herb?
Yeah, and commonly known as common wormwood. Or herba alba grows naturally in North Africa and the Middle East, and has long been used to treat all kinds of different things in the populations that have been lying on it. So hypertension, diabetes, I couldn't believe it, bronchitis.
Wow.
Yeah, it has effective applications, and you know, we think we're far away in medicine. These guys have been working this stuff for some years, apparently, and we've got it understood now, and something we can incubate and use. It's going to be a lot of excitement. A lot of work being done in food science and nutrition publication, and they're really excited about that. And they just produced some material on that. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard about it. And a very promising natural ingredient for treatments like cancer and other diseases. So it's really, really good. Dr. Bao Malab is the one who leads the research there in Terai, a university research institute for medical health sciences. The plant material for the stuff included parts of the Artemisia herba alba that was collected in southern Jordan back in 2021 even. And Professor Haddad is esteemed expert in pharmacognosy and phytochemistry at the University of Jordan School of Pharmacy. So it's really, you know, this is good news for stuff like that to come out of an area where we typically always have bad news instead. So, but really good. It can be ground into a powder and easy to apply and use, and they can get a lot of extracted photochemical out of a very small amount of the stuff. So it's really a good thing.
That's interesting, though, yeah. Just that natural remedy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have a big, because, you know, our approach to cancer treatment is pretty bizarre by comparison.
Yeah.
And effective, but it can be really painful. You get all kinds of side effects and so forth in some of the things that are used. So it's good to have something come up that has some natural capability.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So, closing down on time here, so I got to be careful.
Yeah, we are. We have about 4 minutes. It's bad when you got to pick and choose the next story, you know.
Yeah. Well, the New York Shoemaker issue is good because it has the NEAR program, NEAR Shoemaker, was to explore asteroids in deep space, and they actually designed a landing to actually land on the asteroid Eros, and the and it turned out to be more of a collision than a landing.
Oh, wow.
But it's much to their excitement after they got the initial data back from the so-called landing, they realized, hey, this thing's still working. So the gadget that they landed on the thing, despite the fact that it crashed on it, was still working fine. It ended up generating weeks worth of output to tell us about Eris and what's going on there. And it was really amazing.
Wow.
They were so surprised that the spacecraft was still intact and able to go, and they could cause it to generate some output that would be going to be very useful. This is primarily the work of John Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab, Laurel, Maryland. And here was the first spacecraft launched in NASA's Discovery Program. It was supposed to be a low-cost planetary mission to some of these small moons, asteroids, and so. And it turned out to be much more valuable.
Right, yeah.
Than they ever
yeah.
believed. Delightful. Had that kind of result. Just to take a quick notice of, I mentioned Elon Musk's idea of getting a team of Mars guys in less than 4 years. He has designed a $66 trillion plan for Mars development.
Whoa, that's trillion with a T?
Billion.
Oh, my goodness.
Trillion with a T.
Oh,
and
wow.
He says, what does it take to colonize Mars? He is serious. He's got an answer, a roadmap, and everything else, including Starship, Tesla bots, artificial intelligence, and transforming with nuclear explosions if necessary. He is really going to come up with a self-sustaining Martian city that can handle 1 million people.
Wow. Just takes a little bit of cash, right?
He's got quite an appetite and quite a, and he's sort of your example of a can-do person, too. So it's,
yeah.
I'm excited about that.
He's got a lot of irons in the fire. And then, and after seeing him interacting with the president this week, his own children's going to keep him busy. That little boy of his, my goodness, he was all over the place.
Yeah, he's well poised to get a lot of things done everywhere on two planets.
Yeah, he is. He must be a go-getter, but that's
yeah.
good. All right, well, we're out of time, so we got to wind it down here. Sure, it's good to talk to you again as always. And you got any big plans for the weekend?
Not big, but mostly getting a lot of work done here that we haven't been able to do in recent history.
Right.
We got weather for a chance.
Yeah.
Good news.
All right. Well, that's good. All right. Well, we have a men's breakfast in the morning here at Bethel Fellowship, meeting over at the Farmer's Feed Mill. So we'll be thinking of you while we're over there.
I could be there.
Yeah. Wish you could, too. All right, Mr. Bjork. Well, it's great to talk to you again. You have a great weekend.
Yes, sir.
All right, and to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in and making Mornings with Box 2 part of your week. We really appreciate that. And tune in on Monday as we do the same thing, Mornings with Box 2 Radio, 7 a.m. Monday morning. Have a great weekend.